Hi, this is Teresa Dietze and David Franco with our 24th session of Practical Work on Self. Tonight we discuss radiation of pain, and then we begin to talk about the last hour of life, chapter 24.
Okay.
Hi,
Good.
Mike.
Hello. T, do you want to get us started?
Would you like the header for chapter 23?
I would. I
Okay.
would, please.
Radiation of pain. Sensations of pain and pleasure can be used as reminding factors. They can provide the force for the awakening of the machine.
Okay. It seemed like we spent in a certain way, it seems like it was months ago that we did this chapter, but and that so much has happened since last Wednesday that it seemed like a thoroughly different world. But in fact, it was just 1 week ago. And during that week, we did spend a fair amount of time trying to understand how we would actually do this particular exercise. And I was wondering, let me go over, I'll go over some of the high points of it, and then let's come back and see, did we get a sense of how to do the exercise, and what did it feel like to actually attempt to do that exercise? So part of the concept, just as in the second paragraph, slowly using the attention and concentration of half of the attention, radiate the pain outward into neighboring cells. So first, we have a sensation of pain in the physical body. And as we go through, we can see, as we've gone through the chapters, that the getting in touch, actually getting in touch with the body and going, what's going on in the body, we've seen has been a very important feature of this particular kind of work. And early on, we got some hints of that from Teresa and the work she does, but we're seeing it also more directly almost every chapter in the latter part here as we go through, and it's brought to a head actually in this chapter 23, radiation of pain. So if you notice a pain, some sensation, which we'll designate as the word pain at the moment, though I'm sure it would work with a pleasure sensation as well, then the concept is to note it. Don't give it any more power or meaning than that, but note that sensation where it is, and then as you note it, in a sense, grab it with your attention and radiate the pain, the sensation that is existing in that locale, and radiate it out through other cells of the body, and just see what happens. What goes on in you? How do you experience it at that point? And then I'm jumping ahead. Now perhaps you can see how small, relatively unimportant pain can help you in your work by providing your attention with a specific field of gravitational attraction. So something happens, and suddenly we have a place for which our attention can descend. And when it descends, then we can do something about it. And then on top of 171, any unpleasant sensation at all will serve this function, for particularly one which is characterized by a tingling reminiscent of the discomfort first felt when a limb has fallen asleep. So that's just a example that EJ gives us to notice what it's like to go from not being asleep, being asleep. as we learned a little bit in the doorway exercise, we learned like there's a moment of transit in going from machine different state. That state says, well, we're in the waking state at that time. So how did that work for anybody, or do we have more questions about it, or how would you like to work with it maybe right now?
There's somebody still who has a lot of static on their line, so if you can figure out if you that's your, you and stop that, that'd be great. So for me, I was just actually working with radiation of pain. I noticed that I'd been sitting cross-legged and that my knees were beginning to hurt from immobility, and I began to radiate the pain. Although I did uncross my knees, I noticed that as I began to radiate the pain, my feet and my legs started to feel very alive, and it was really a way that I began to feel quite in touch with and inside of my body.
Good, good example.
I particularly use it in itching that I have thousands of itching, and although I shower every day, but I practice it with itching, and it works exactly like you said.
Yeah.
I concentrate and I dissipate the itch wherever it was, and somehow it starts disappearing. But my question is really, how do you do that with pleasure? Pain or itching seems to be easier to target in a point, but with pleasure, how do you do that with pleasure?
Well, if we look at it from the same point of view of just that it's a sensation, an intense sensation that may occur at a particular moment, just watching that intense sensation and its locale, then you do exactly the same thing.
Because somehow the pleasure is something that is the whole body takes your, unless, I don't know.
I can give you an example of that. So
please.
A lot of people, especially, this especially applies to men because it's not quite the same sometimes for women, although it can be, in sexual experience. If a man focuses the sensations only on the sexual organ, then it's a totally, totally different experience than if he allows the energetics and the sensations to spread through the entire body and out into the hands and feet and the limbs and even into the energetic fields around the body. And then there's streaming energy that moves all over and begins to respond in the situation. That's very different than having the energy just all congested in one particular area. And that would be similar to radiation of pain.
Point taken, Teresa, but isn't that happens naturally? I mean, without you wanting to do the exercise, I guess the orgasm or the pleasure will radiate, obviously originates in the genitalia, but it moves all around your body.
Right.
Whether you intend it or not.
That's, it can with some people, and with people who are more shut down and less inhibited, they don't have that experience. And if they wanted to have that experience, they would need to begin to do that type of attention exercise in order to get that to happen.
I follow, yes. Okay. Other example, maybe, I thought about that when I was presenting the case, I was thinking about that, but I found it so unique, so particular, that maybe I don't have many pleasures like that during the day to do it in that aspect. But I was thinking perhaps some other more habitual pleasure in my body I could not come with any idea. But,
okay.
But yeah, the point that you mentioned is very valid, you know.
Okay,
how about pleasure in your body, like eating good food or something?
That's
okay.
A little harder to work with unless you were to take a very, very small amount of food and to leave it on the tongue and to focus on it very intensely, because when you're actually eating mouthfuls of food and swallowing it, there's a lot of movement, and the food is also moving through your body, and it's also very internal, and people are not usually accustomed to paying attention to the internal sensation. So why don't you try it and find out and play with it and see whether you can feel that. And
yeah, good lead.
Yeah, but I think that the thing is that was an aside, and the function, and it's a valid aside, and I think that Teresa has brought up some good points that we can follow, but point of fact is that the chapter is saying, work with the pains that come out. Now, point of fact is that all day long we are going through pains. It's not like that it's an extraordinary experience where a pain occurs. I would say that hundreds of times during the day we are going through various pains that take on various shapes and forms that they do. It is constantly occurring. Our efforts to buffer them out, which sometimes I think is important to function, or that we're just simply unaware of them, is part of the point here. So they're going on all day long. And the ones that maybe we can use more effectively as well, I've used the same one that Teresa said about the knees, but in fact, you know, there are emotional pains that we'll go through constantly.
I was just going the same place, but I'd like to insert a comment first from Sin Hogg. He says, I find it easier to radiate pain than pleasure. Pain gives you a necessity to try radiating it.
Absolutely it does.
Yes.
So the import of the chapter then is is that now perhaps you can see how small, relatively unimportant pains can help you in your work by providing your attention with a specific field of gravitational attraction. A strong or unusual sensation in the machine can become a tiny sun absolute from which radiates the force for attention to follow sensation through the machine. We're becoming aware of the energy and how it moves. We may not always know the reason why we're feeling something. We may not know it mentally. We may not know where it came from. But we can, from sensation and sensing, have a clear and distinct idea that we did, in fact, have that sensation.
I especially like a little farther ahead where it says, allow yourself to feel anxious. Admit it to yourself that you feel frightened, anxious, or even revolted by the idea of finding yourself in a dead body.
Yeah. And then what's occurring there, that's the transit, the first, in a certain way, a sense, the first senses of transit. And what's, by necessity, the author is telling us here, a specific slice in time where you feel that anxious sensation. And you feel it as a precursor to suddenly you're in a different relationship of attention to your body.
And the anxiety may even have been like the shoehorn that got you there.
Yeah.
David, what do you mean by transit?
By transit, I mean in the moving from one space to another space. And it's like in a dream, you don't always know how you got there, but in this sense, we can say we can watch the transit. We have a chance because we're training our attention to watch us transition to a different space. Right now, mark the space that you're in. Right now. What does it feel like? What is the temperature in the room around you? What's the temperature in your body? Where is your attention at the moment? What colors are apparent to you? Are your muscles relaxed or are they tense?
And can you feel compression in the joints?
Now, contrast that to where you were 20 minutes ago, 30 minutes ago. We may not be clear on how we got from there to here, but there was a process. And that process is what I am marking as called transit.
Okay. We have a few comments. Are you ready for them?
Great. Yeah, I am.
Silverdale, one application of this idea is that when we perceive our non-phenomenal self as a vibratory sensation, then we try to expand that sensation throughout the body. Townsley Girl, oh, I did that a while back, Silverdale. It was amazing. And in typical fashion, I felt more asleep this week than I have in a while. Silverdale, when our non-phenomenal self is whole and indivisible, then our body seems to be literally dead from its point of view. And then Townsend Girl, David is talking about the first exercise again, yes? And Sinhog, it can be quite creepy to experience your body as dead. Townsend Girl, I do not like that.
No. So what Silverdale is telling us is that when we get to that, when we are standing clearly in the position called the essential self, the non-phenomenal body, the inner self, whatever word you like to use, and you look in a sense back out at the body, there's actually a sense of compassion because it is compared to the way you see and the reality with which you see at that point, it is a dead, almost dead, lifeless thing that you're dragging along.
Sometimes it feels like the body is a tremendous weight hanging on the soul, and other times it feels like it's a vehicle for expression. One thing I think is a experience that a lot of people can probably relate to, especially if you've been feeling poorly or injured and you get a little bit out of shape. And then you try to do anything that you were doing beforehand and you feel yourself as heavy, thick, slow, a little bit deadened. You haven't been paying a lot of attention to the body. Maybe you've been reading, watching videos as you were recovering. And then as we start to try to get back into movement and exercise and paying attention, kind of rehabilitating the body, and as we bring our attention to it, we start to feel more alive again. The point I'm trying to make with this is that experiencing that deadness is a prerequisite to changing it. And so if we don't like the feeling of deadness, if we get stopped by that and pull away or dissociate, then we're pretty much stuck with that and we'll just get more and more out of shape and out of touch. And as we move into that deadness and allow ourselves to radiate pain and begin doing the various exercises to wake ourselves up and working more with the body, then we're in a position to make ourselves more alive, and then we don't feel so dead.
When the machine, we get to the place where the machine and the physical body is working in harmony with the essential self, the non-phenomenal body, and there's an interplay between the two, it is a dance, it's an alive dance. It's a dance where both are participating in the function, and you can see that you are one thing moving forward. It's you're not separated from it. You're not a separate thing. And then you become alive in a very different manner.
Silverdale said, rather than dead, the body seems extremely limited because the non-phenomenal self is so expansive, that is, without boundaries. And then Townsend Girl said, oh, okay, the dead feeling is motivation to try to go on and try the portal exercise or whatever. Yes.
Yeah, good. Yeah, and a lot of different people talk about like learning to use the body in many, many different ways, not just the way that you normally do it. Thus, you have people that are learning the body in like dancing or hiking, juggling, magic tricks, cooking, different things that maybe you wouldn't do. But you do with this newfound attention, and suddenly it's starting to come alive in ways that you've never seen before. Like one exercise to use the body is to put it in front of a crowd and deliver a lecture.
Another exercise, as Townsend Girl pointed out, she likes the portal exercise best. And Silverdale thinks that's a very effective technique. I do too, but when she said she liked that one best, I couldn't help but ask, have you tried all of them?
Well, yeah. So then I'm just... I'm on the last, just following up where we were. These first feelings will pass. If we allow ourselves to backslide, it will be 10 times harder to approach it again. So we're working with a continuum here. This is not a literal and linear effect where you do this, and then you're always over here. You get glimpses of moving forward. In essence, what you're doing is you're modeling a different form of inner behavior. And in modeling that different form of inner behavior, you find ways and means to get yourself in a new place. And you're teaching the mechanism, the inner composition, in a sense. You're teaching it something new. You're teaching it that there is a different way. And it's gradual and gradual and gradual. So, and then as EJ concludes here, so be brave, be courageous. You will experience your imprisonment in a dead body, but soon the dead body will begin to awaken. Then the situation will take a new turn. People around you will seem dead, but not everybody. As you look around, you will see some whose eyes are a little bit open, or very much open. Work with your pains, using them to reawaken the circulation in this lifeless body, this sleeping machine.
Silverdale said, you will have acquired a personal common integral vibration of beingness and recognize. I trailed off there. And recognize that it is a product of your own work on self.
So people are reporting back to us that if we continue flowing through these different exercises and continuing to attempt to continue to awaken the machine, progress can occur. We'll face this portal, this transit moment of where the machine awakens and you're in the non-phenomenal self and there's strange tinglings of the body as we go forward. Yeah, that's going to occur. And then it'll become more and more common to you as we go forward. And as it becomes more and more common, it doesn't it seem, axiomatic that you in fact can more easily find your way then? So as we practice anything, like if you're practicing contact juggling, you'll eventually be able to do it a little better and a little better and a little better.
I'd like to look also at this sentence where he says, and in this way, we prepare ourselves for the real sensations of awakening when they do come.
Okay.
I'm not sure, since I'm not probably awake, exactly what those sensations are, but I do know that when people say go through intensive Qigong classes and things like that with excellent masters, then what can happen is, or when people go to different healers and begin to wake up a little bit, a lot of different sensations can occur, and some of them are not very comfortable at all because things are changing. For instance, I've had times when just from energy shifting and changing in my body, I've had maybe strong pain in an organ, and I've heard about this in other people, and then it passes as something clears out. It's not a medical thing. It isn't a problem. It's just from the energy moving. Or I've had different experiences where I've had different temperatures and different types of flow going through the body in different places and in different ways, or shaking or jerking all over. Or one time I was really...
And then you're on the other side of it.
Yes, after a while, sometimes it takes a while to go through
sure.
it. It can even take a couple days sometimes.
It can take a while for it to cycle through. But then you begin to get on the other side of it. And by looking in that way, one thing that occurs is gradually we begin to know that we can get on the other side of it. That the sensation, like you brought up a number of sensations, a number of processes where a lot of different kinds of energy comes through. And at first, it does feel... frightening. When a lot more energy comes in, we tend to freeze up. When we have certain experiences of a lot of energy, here's another flip side to this exercise of radiation of pain. And this I can speak of from direct experience. When there is a great deal of energy, what you can tend to do is what your sleeping machine would normally do, and that's to preserve itself, where it tightens up. Even you have muscular tension in such a way to attempt to either stop that pain, that great deal of energy coming in. But the only way to handle that, truly, is to open up and to surrender to that higher amount of energy. And then your machine begins to understand how to deal with it. And you and those energies that come through, and if they're from the particular place, those are what's called cleansing radiations. And in a certain way, the only way to avail yourself of those cleansing radiations is to surrender to them. The process of surrendering is not always simple, and it is not always straightforward how to do it. You need to find your way, and only each of us knows how to find our way. But I guarantee you, you can find your way. It's worth the stretch to do it.
So a lot of that's about intentionally giving up control. And the historical self has the illusion that we can solve things and solve everything through greater and greater amounts of control. And that's simply not true. Sometimes learning to surrender control, that's when we're surrendering, we're not. What are we surrendering? We're surrendering our identity, our opinion about who we are, so that we can allow ourselves to become somebody that isn't who we've defined ourselves as. We become bigger than the previous self-definition. So we surrender identity, and we surrender the illusion of being able to control, because the control is like, that's about locking down, and opening up or relaxing is, in one sense, we say that that's releasing control. It can be, but it's a higher form of control. People with control issues think that tightening, it's like if you tighten your arm and you tighten the muscle, that you have control. But also being able to relax and open and release the muscle tension is real, even more masterful. And so it's a higher degree of control to be able to surrender, actually, than it is to lock down and control everything. But when you have control issues, then you think about stopping things as being control. But it's not really control. That's sort of a mind way to take people past the control issues, is by telling them that they have more control when they're able to surrender. Because we do. Like a dancer has to be able to relax the muscle as well as tightening them. If that makes sense.
We've all heard, and that, thank you very much for that. That was very well put. Very well put, Teresa. And we've all heard those ideas before. They're in our brain, and the machine says, yeah, that's the way to do it. And in a very, very limited and narrow manner, the machine will attempt to do that. But what it really means to surrender, we, in a certain way, we don't know. Because the we that's speaking is often that which must have control.
Yes.
But we're talking about a different state of being than is normal to us. But we can practice that a little bit at a time. And that's what this chapter allows us, a manner in which to begin the practice. And as I've said a number of times, we're dealing with a spiral of learning here. We're going through this information in one level of the spiral. As we continue with our investigation, we'll hit the same point again on a different spiral, and suddenly we'll go, wow, this is the same control issue. I didn't realize I had that.
So
Some of the issues with regards to that and to control, we really cannot do on our own. We can't do in an isolated manner. We must do with friends, with other workers.
That's absolutely true when we're just on our own in our own environment where we control everything, then We don't have the same kind of work opportunities that we do in an environment where somebody is there to both trigger us potentially and also to mirror us to ourselves.
And as they say, ultimately, when the final self is to be sacrificed, one cannot do that on our own. It is grace by which that must be taken from you. And that's a long way down the road, but it's a different process altogether. But we can practice surrendering by surrendering our attachment to the pain that we feel in these momentary times as we go through the day, by surrendering the pain and dissipating it, haven't we then reclaimed that energy? We've reclaimed that energy for our work at that moment.
It's about surrendering the resistance to the pain. Even if we can't release the pain by doing it, like when I had my back injury, and I couldn't get rid of it, but releasing the resistance to the pain, then the rest of the body is not clenched.
Yeah. But in another way, also, the emotional pains and that we our ego feels all day long, those we don't want to acknowledge as our own making. It's them outside us that's making that occur. If that's where we are, forget it. There's no hope at that point. When we begin to own the pain and own it as something that is in me that is causing that sensation, at that point, something can be done about it. For instance, I can then begin to sense where the pain is, possibly radiate the pain through the being, and I have then reacquired that energy that the pain, and as you're putting, the resistance to it, has stolen from me.
That's a very good point, reacquiring the energy. So there's a few comments to catch up on. Are you ready for those?
Yeah, great.
Silverdale, you will have acquired a personal common integral vibration of beingness and recognize it's a product of your own work on self and that others have not made these same efforts. Work on self is intended to conceive, birth, grow, and develop beingness, which is the manifestation of a soul together with its unique possibilities. To conceive requires the blending of the historical personality and the vibratory sensation of the non-phenomenal self. The blending of these two diametrically opposite forces, sperm and egg, produces a common integral vibration of being, which is relatively immortal. And then, the other Townsend girl wanted to know, what is that grace that is taken from you?
No, it's the ultimate ego, in a sense, that is taken from you by grace. This is a long way down the road.
Well, there's subsets of it also. There are periods of surrender. For instance, this is kind of an offhand example, but I like it, so I'm going to go with it. A friend went through an IRS audit recently, and instead of resisting it and resenting it and being angry about this month of work, he focused on cleaning everything up for himself and reorganizing things and really getting on top of his business and using that time and energy that he had to do those things anyway to make his life better in some way, and he went with it. And that has to be a painful process, at least at first, but he turned it into something that could serve him. And every time we do something like that, like everyone has probably had the situation where you've gotten really sick and had a really terrible flu, and at some point you got to the point where you didn't even want to do anything anyway and just kind of went with it and just let your life come apart for the time being, since there's no way you could do anything anyway. And those timings when we're able to just go into what's actually happening instead of going, oh, this is horrible, I wish I could do something else, and we allow the grace to be there, and we go, well, you know, I really did actually just need some absolute downtime for self-reflection. Not like making that up as a trying to be positive, but a sincere, heartfelt experience of that, and finding grace in the things that are happening. In those small ways, we begin to accept this kind of life type of pain and prepare ourselves for greater and greater levels of surrender, such as releasing ourselves to death. Dead silence. Yes, we're still recording.
So, do people have a better sense then of how to use this particular Chapter 23 Radiation of Pain exercise? Does it seem like it's something that you can do?
Lee's not quite clear about it. She says, are you talking about death, David? Okay, so we're talking about releasing resistance and being in the moment?
No. Well, yeah, in a sense. But what I'm talking about was that it's so small. In a certain way, it's so simple that it's impossible to understand by the human mind. But like the guy with the IRS audit, it's not, you know, granted he went to the IRS audit, but he also went to momentary issues, specific little issues when he was on with the agent or he was on with his accountant or was working on his own material. And like at that moment, he may have felt a sensation of pain. What do we normally do with that? We brush it aside and just go on. The opportunity here is to focus on that pain, rest our attention on it, and radiate it out through our mechanical or the machine, and it becomes a different thing at that point. That's what it means.
Can you contrast this with the pond exercise?
Yes, the pond exercise was similar to this, but the pond exercise wasn't its intention wasn't the what I call the conservation of energy and the transmutation of the energy that is created by an event. The pond exercise was beginning to practice. We are in the practice mode here. We've only been doing this for a few weeks. These are exercises that will take years to perfect. And so in the pond exercise, what we're doing, there's a sensation, something you know is going to occur for you. You go into that, and then instead of reacting to it, that jerk eats like a cow. You just notice the sensation and, in a sense, open to it and let it pass through you. This one is saying, I have experienced pain. What am I? And then watch that pain and watch the energy source of it and attempt to radiate that to the machine. That's how I would contrast it.
In the sense that this is going to bring a physical sensation.
Yes. And the physical sensation is you note the physical sensation through the exercise of your sensing mechanism. When we do the human biological machine in a few weeks, whenever we do it, well, we're going to start, we'll talk more specifically about the sensing mechanism.
Yeah, because in my case, when I was doing the experiment, it was exactly, I think it was Diana or somebody mentioned there, it's just, I was just present in the moment, feeling that and trying to radiate it out and feel what happened. It was very simple, quite simple. I don't know. For me, it was just exactly like she described it. I'd be in the present, focus on that, and dissipated, you know, radiating outwards, and then feel what happened. No other issue came in.
And that's exactly, it's a beautiful, the practice of it. Here's this, another secret behind it. You do it in one area, and you, one particular moment, you do it, and you suddenly, it works for you. And it works where you've seen the radiation of pain, and you've seen that you've been able to garner that pain, that energy again. Suddenly, you're beginning to teach the human biological machine a new habit, right?
Yeah,
and so now it knows that can occur. It doesn't have to be the way that the historical personality has been constructed. We have another possibility here.
That's a good point.
So we're laying in pathways of new models of internal behavior. Internal behavior. And that internal behavior has to do with attention and presence. And harvesting the relationship with the essential self. That's what occurs when we start to find the new pathway. How would we know to do this? Unless we're introduced to this by a book like Practical Work on Self. How would you ever know? There's no place where it's taught.
So Townsend Girl said, so the pond is just noting the pain, and then this chapter is about moving it and exercising the will again. I would say that the pond is about noticing emotional reactivity and making room in oneself so that we don't perpetuate it and we're able to be in the moment at more of an emotional level. And this exercise is more about working with the physical body.